Well, one of the things that Donald Trump has confirmed is that a U.S. Army helicopter went down near the Strait of Hormuz. It was reported by the New York Times late last night. And the president said that the pilots were not injured and that the report on the incident will be released today. He said the pilots are fine. Nobody's injured. We're going to issue a report tomorrow, but the pilots are fine. That's what he said partly on the tarmac after Game 3 of the NBA Finals. But also, two Iranian air defense troops were killed by Israeli attacks, according to Iranian state media. Iran's Emergency Medical Service Organization said that 15 Iranians were injured in Israeli attacks. 14 people in one region, one person in Tehran was also injured. But two of those troops were killed Monday. And it shows you how all of these little things, how are they playing a role into the overall negotiations that are happening to try to get a deal done. Austin Gullett is the former Navy intel officer and joins us this morning. Austin, it's good to have you back. Let's talk a little bit about the actual military strikes that have been happening. The president is urging Israel to pull back in Lebanon in particular, but these missile strikes continue. How is that impacting the talks?
Yeah, good morning. Good to talk to you again. Well, I think, you know, big picture, Iran is really showing who they are to the world. And I think strategically, Trump still has the upper hand. And, you know, I'll get back to that. But specifically with the strike, Iran really started the skirmish with Israel on Sunday night, you know, firing missiles into Israel after Israel conducted missile strikes into Lebanon, which they have been doing. Israel's been fighting Lebanon, so it's not really a new thing. The new thing was that Iran sent missiles into Israel. And then obviously Israel quickly answered with strikes of their own, targeting military and missile-related facilities into Iran, which is the first direct military exchange between Israel and Iran in months. So I think Iran really escalated there. And really, Iran continues to show who they are. I mean, since the ceasefire a couple months ago, Iran hasn't opened the Strait of Hormuz, as they said they would. Iran obviously just conducted missile strikes in Israel, escalation certainly. Iran continues to indiscriminately strike their Gulf neighbors. You know, they're not winning a popularity contest there. Iran will not give up their nuclear ambitions, and they continue their support for terrorist proxies. So I think Trump still has all the leverage. We have all the military might. The naval blockade is suffocating Iran economically. The frozen assets with Secretary Bessette, that's a great strategic piece, probably upwards of $100 billion. That's a major negotiating point. And then again, Iran continues to attack their neighbors. So Iran continues to show who they are. It's frustrating, but they're showing the world who they are, in case there was any doubt.
Austin, the president is predicting what he calls a total victory within 2 weeks. Is it realistic to declare victory when really neither side appears to have achieved all of his objectives?
Yeah, I mean, President Trump does, you know, like some hyperbole. He likes to make announcements, and, you know, certainly he's active with his social media. So I don't really know. I'm sure he has something, something up his sleeve with regard to a 2 week deadline. But again, I don't think President Trump needs to really self-impose any timeline. Again, Iran is frustrating that they're not cooperating, but they are showing the world who we are, and we have all the leverage, as I just laid out. So I don't know exactly what the details are associated with the 2 weeks, but I don't think President Trump needs to self-impose that.
What is the relationship currently between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu? The president told Jonathan Carl of ABC News, "I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the deal, but I said you have to use your own judgment. Just go out and use your judgment, but I don't want the deal to be hurt." But we get the reports. This comes on the heels that there was a bit of a shouting match. Donald Trump was critical of Benjamin Netanyahu on some of these strikes in Lebanon. What is the relationship between the two currently?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like it's probably not. The relationship's not at as its highest, most amicable point. But, you know, Israel is playing for keeps over there, and usually the U.S. and Israeli priorities and objectives are aligned, and sometimes they're not. And as President Trump is trying to negotiate peace, and you know, Israel is sort of hitting the gas in Lebanon, it can make it challenging because Iran wants to support their proxy in Hezbollah. It's also interesting that here in the U.S., the counterintelligence threat has been increased on Israel. It's moved from high to critical. So there's a lot of efforts to for Israeli diplomats sort of in their intelligence community to really try to infiltrate, you know, closely held talks in Washington to really try to better understand what the policy is. So, yeah, it's not great at this point. But I think strategically we're still aligned, and Iran is certainly the bad guy in the room.
The president said several regional countries have urged him to intervene. What does that tell us about how, like, nervous America's allies and partners are about this conflict?
I mean, I think, you know, they obviously don't love it. And, you know, part of Secretary Bessent's plan with those frozen funds is to help those $100 billion held in those various institutions outside Iran could be used. Not just to punish Iran, but also to reassure key Gulf partners that will bear some of the cost of the conflict. So, you know, demonstrating that Washington remains committed to their security. And then you also saw that Israel took their Iron Dome, you know, to UAE and was, you know, manning it with Israeli soldiers. I mean, if you had said that would happen 10 years ago, you would have been crazy. So I think there is some coalescing between the Gulf partners and the U.S. and Israel. So I think, you know, high level, nobody likes this conflict, but we're joined in our effort against Iran.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because my question is, you know, at the end of this, the region could look very different, and you might have, you know, completely new alliances that weren't quite as strong in the past that have become stronger. How has the region changed at this moment?
Yeah, well, you know, right this second, you know, specifically from the Strait of Hormuz, you just made me think of the Strait. You know, the past couple months, nearly 1,000 commercial vessels have actually transited the Strait. There's a new shipping lane that opened up on the Omani side. And, you know, a good description I heard was that there's been a quiet U.S. naval overwatch. So, Iran is still leveraging pressure on their side with small boat harassment, increased insurance costs, et cetera. But, you know, Iran doesn't have the influence over the Strait. It's not absolute. So big picture, long term, I think we'll continue to adjust and limit Iran's influence over the Strait. And I think that the cooperation between the Gulf states and will continue to increase. And I think strategically, in addition to limiting Iran's ability to sow havoc in the world, I think we'll be a lot closer with our Gulf allies.
Mm. Austin Gullett, always appreciate your insight. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Thank you all.
Yeah,
have a good one.
You got you it. Too. You do the same. Interesting. Also, Donald Trump telling Benjamin Netanyahu in a call that if they went back to war, he might be doing this alone. And that would certainly take
boy.
The United States out of the picture.
Yes.
What that means, I don't know. Coming up on the other side, gas prices. Could they be impacting the auto industry yet again? We'll talk about it with Grant Schwab at the Detroit News. It's next on JR Morning.